Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, hello, and welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Today, your calls, your stories, your letters, we got it all for you. Tony Brewski in the studio, all by myself today, again, as Jenny's away. She'll be back here in just a couple of days. Hopefully with some treats for us from the land of Texas. She asked me if I wanted her to pick anything up, and I don't know. Special surprise, as our littlest one says. I got a special surprise. So I don't know. Hopefully no spirits are coming back with her, but... At least not the ghostly type. You can feel free to bring back any sort of Texas spirits, meaning the beverage type, if she so chooses. But there you go. Today on the show, we got a whole bunch of calls, got a whole bunch of letters, and I'm excited to start getting through some of these and sharing them with you. Of course, if you have a real ghost story you'd like to share with us, please call us. Our phone number, 855-853-4802. You can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. I did receive a really interesting letter, which I'm going to save until Jenny gets back, because I want her to hear it as well, from a listener of ours in the Traverse City, Michigan area, who is very, very familiar with the state hospital there, or former state hospital. It's now called Traverse City Commons, and it's the big gothic creepy-ass thing that's like boutique shops, restaurants, and assisted living. Because it always mixes together really well in an old asylum-type facility. But somehow they made it work. Anyway, it's a building we've talked about on the show before. I've always been very intrigued by it. She's actually worked there when it was in its asylum setting, if you will, in the 70s. So we got a story from then and a story from the daughter who worked at the restaurant there in its current state. And some very interesting background, not only on how things are going at the facility when it was operational, but also what it's like today and what it's like to work there. So I'm excited to share that story with you. This is a facility that when we drove by a couple weeks ago and we were in that area, I wanted to show Jenny. And she's like, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to see it. I don't want to, like, no, we're going to go see it. I want to see it. We don't have to go in, but I want to see it. We just pulled up the drive and kind of went through the little grounds of the facility. She's like, we're not going in. I'm not going in. I'm not going in. I really wanted to go in, but we didn't go in. But I have been in there in the past, and it is about as creepy as you can get. It really, really is. So anyway, I'll do that letter when she comes back here. Probably about, how many more episodes we got by ourselves? About one episode. So tomorrow will still be me, and then the following episode after that, Jenny will be back on. And so we'll talk about that story at that point. Let's kick off the show today. Let's go to a letter and start there. Our first letter on the show today comes to us from Tony. I know I did not write it to myself here today. It says, hello, Tony and Jenny. I'm just going to jump right into the story. This is a slight continuation of EPP episode 39. So our EPPs know what's going on. If you're not an EPP, this is a good way to a good reason to be one to get the start of the story, because it was very, very creepy. Hence, it was on the EPP episode But here's the other part. Without giving too much away, my friend and I were on a road trip to Washington State, amped up on surge. Okay? I remember this. He took a piece of a totem pole. Spirit slowly plagued him for the next 12 years. This was a good story. It's a throwback to the 90s, which I really enjoyed because there was lots of mention of 90s products like Surge and such. But what happened was truly, truly disturbing with what the friend took with that totem pole. For the next 12 years, mental illness was not a factor. Fast forward to the last couple of weeks, my friend is getting married in less than a month. The occurrences were all but gone for quite a while, when recently, he again told me of hearing whispers at night. Now, his fiancée knows about his past and was actually an instrumental part of helping him with gaining some sense of normalcy in his life. What's supposed to be a happy time in his life has been plagued with an uptick in activity. Like he's stated before, these spirits never really went away. And they've always been there, lingering in the background, not really bothering him, but watching and serving as an intimidation, almost. One of the occurrences happened when he was in his reclining chair after work. He was extremely tired when it felt like two oversized hands pushed down on his shoulders, not allowing him to get up. He called me up and alerted me to what had occurred. 2 days later, he was home and his fiancée and daughter were just about to leave. They were starting to move things into his room, so he thought he'd take a nice hot shower. So as his fiancée and daughter leave to go do last-minute wedding things, he kissed them goodbye. And as he watched them leave, he gathered his things for a nice, long, hot shower. He turned on the water, jumped in, lathered up. While letting the hot water hit the top of his head. He has bad allergies, so he's helped with that for a while. He said he had soap in every crevice of his face when he heard a loud bam, 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 bam come from downstairs. He thought maybe it was his fiancée knocking on the door because she may have forgotten the keys. So he quickly rinses off, throws a towel on, and runs downstairs, opens the door, and no one was there. He goes back upstairs, telling himself maybe it was the hot water heater. Jump back into the shower, doing the same before, when he hears a whisper in his ear. He says that he loses it and jumps through the shower curtain, screaming, "Leave me alone," over and over again. The voices, which seemed to be in unison, said no, followed by, "We like your new family." With the wedding less than a month away, he asked me, should he tell his fiancée for her and their daughter's safety or not tell her because of possibly losing her? Although she has helped him emotionally in the past, and by the way, his fiancée is my first cousin whom has seen things over the years, but never on the level to which he has been plagued. Well, there you go. That's quite a conundrum. I think if she understands what has gone on in the past, which it sounds like she does, sounds like she's well aware, and has even been affected by it somewhat herself, the right thing to do would be to share with her what is going on. And if she loves him enough, if it's a strong enough relationship, if it's something that is meant to continue on, I'm sure it will continue on. I think she has a right to know if this is what he is experiencing. I would certainly want to know if, right before me and Jenny got married, if she was having this experience. I'd want to know more about why it's going on, how it's going on. You know, a lot of times when someone is in a very emotionally charged point in their life, these sort of things do spark up. Now, it is disturbing saying, "I like your new family." There's a child involved. He should tell her, without a doubt. That's my opinion. I can't control what happens after he tells her, nor will I be held responsible. But my opinion would be, it would be the right thing to do. What do you guys think? If you want to weigh in, we have that forum section up on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Daisy writes in, So I've been listening to your show lately and find that all the stories are very intriguing and have such an impact on the listener when it's told in first person. So I was set on calling in and telling my story, but I live in Australia, and my phone company doesn't allow me to make international calls. On with my story. My whole life, I've seen entities and experienced unexplainable things, but I wanted to tell a story of when I was younger. It was not long after my parents had divorced, and I was staying at my father's house one night. His house is about 100 years old now, and I think has become home to something else other than my family. So this night, I was staying there. It must have been around 3 a.m. when I just woke up and had this sudden urge to walk over to the hall to my father's room, in which I did. I remember staring into his room for a while as I was just standing in his doorway, because I could see a lady in a long white dress lying next to my father, but she was floating above the bed about an arm's length high. Her whole body was illuminating, almost like an angel. At this point, my father had actually woken up and saw me standing at his door. He said to me, "Daisy, what are you doing there?" And I slowly replied back with, "Dad, there's a lady lying down next to you. She's white like an angel." The look on my father's face was just shock, horror. Then he quickly snapped out of it because he knows how much ghost-related things scare me and cause me nightmares. And he said he couldn't see any lady and basically escorted me back to bed. The next day, I remember him asking me about it, and I had felt such a negative presence from this illuminating. I just began screaming and blocked my ears so that I couldn't hear what he was saying about it at all. I've always remembered that night and have done some research over time. I read in an article online that demons can actually pose as an angel in order to disguise themselves and trick you into thinking it's a positive energy, which I believe that is what I saw that night, a demon disguised as an angel. What do you guys think? Think it was a demon disguised as an angel? It's difficult to tell in that story, quite honestly. It's because there wasn't a whole lot that occurred with the entity other than it just being there. Now, someone can certainly get feelings and empathic emotions from whatever is around you, and sometimes you just know something is good or something is bad. But we have to keep in mind, too, when we're talking about ghosts in the spirit world, there's a lot of ghosts that are just were bad people, too. Not necessarily demons, just bad negative forces that were negative forces in real life that may also be negative forces on the other side. What do you guys think? The phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to a caller at 855-853-4802 and hear another real ghost story in someone's very own words. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Angela from Michigan. I had called a while back, I think in April, about my son seeing someone he called the man that frightened him until the one day he announced his Uncle Mike was visiting him at night. And that then he pointed to a picture of my late dad and said, "There he is, Uncle Mike." Well, Jenny had commented that she wondered if my daughter, who is younger, has seen my dad since she also sees the man. I know she sees the man to this day, but I never remember her being afraid of him. I do remember that once when she was about 3 years old, I heard her talking to someone in her room. I went in and asked, "Who are you talking to?" And she smiled and said, "Uncle Mike, of course." She was alone at that time, and from then on, she would carry her toy phone around, and even from the back of our car, she would talk to Uncle Mike. And I remember her one day at a family get-together, she said something to my brother, her Uncle Mike, about when he talked to her, and he looked confused, and he was a little creeped out. My son also, before my daughter was born, had an imaginary friend that was a little girl, and he loved to whisper and talk with her and smile. And I asked him who he was talking to, and he would say, my friend Laura. She's not her, she's just sad. This creeped me out because I have, from the time we have moved into our house that we're living in now, have always heard a girl crying, even before my daughter was born. And my daughter also sees the little girl, but she's scared of her. She says the little girl stands behind a pink chair in her room and stares at her. My daughter is now 14, and she still sees the man, but she's not afraid. She does not interact. She's not afraid, but she doesn't want him to know that she sees him. And with my daughter, it's a little different because the man will, instead of going straight into my son's room, will stop now and look into her room. But anyways, she has been afraid of this little girl. And she did say that one night the little girl would come at her when she was still in bed and scare her. I have also seen the girl come to me to me at night when I'm sleeping, but the little girl sounds afraid when she comes to me, and I'll feel someone touching me, grabbing my feet or over me and saying, Mama, Mama. And she looks very similar to what my daughter did when my daughter was between 6 and 8. And so at first I remember thinking, it's my daughter, and then I open my eyes and she's gone. But now that my daughter is older, we don't hear or see the little girl very much. But two nights ago, while my daughter had a friend over, I thought maybe her friend had seen the ghost girl, because in the morning her friend had said that she had a dream the night last night that my daughter jumped on her, but when she opened her eyes, she saw my daughter was still asleep. And I remember the times being awakened by the girl and thinking for a moment that it was my daughter. So anyways, this reminded me of Jenny's questions about the man, so I thought I would answer. I did kind of believe that my brother, or that possibly my late father did visit my daughter when she was little to keep her from being afraid of the man, and again, she also thought it was Uncle Mike. I just want to say I have tons of stories, and I probably will call again, but I thank you for having this so that we can all, who see ghosts from time to time or have experiences in our lives, we can hear other stories. And I love when I see or hear something in a story that has happened to me or very similar to what has happened to me, and then you don't feel so crazy. So again, thank you.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, and clarifying and answering some of those questions that that Jenny had for you. It's always, it's difficult when you have what you think is the ghost of a loved one seemingly trying to be helpful or comforting to a fellow loved one, a daughter, a niece. Because you never really know for sure, is that indeed your uncle right there? Or is it something posing as your uncle right there? I think they're taking the best route possible of, let's just not interact and call it good. 855-853-4802 is our number. You can write into the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our show, hey, sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person. I want to tell you about some of the new things that are up in our EPP website. Of course, all of the bonus episodes, all 40-some of those are up there, filled with some of our best stories ever. There's exclusive video up there, Ask Tony and Jenny videos, the documentary we put together, the short film on the haunted former Wichita airport is there. And now, the classic Real Ghost Story Online episodes. We've done so many shows that iTunes essentially can't distribute all of them anymore. So essentially, as we put a new episode up, one of the back-end episodes from more than a year ago bounces off into oblivion. So we are restoring those episodes to our EPPs in the classic Real Ghost Story Online section. So you can listen to some of our original episodes, and there's, gosh, probably like 40 or 50 of them up there right now. So, and we're talking really, really interesting episodes. These are ones talking about the Amityville Horror with the gentleman who put together the documentary My Amityville Horror. We talk with Andrea Perrin about The Conjuring. We have several interviews up there. I believe the original zombie ghost clown story from Oscar is now up into that section. So there is just a whole bunch of great Real Ghost Story Online material. Exclusive stuff that's always been exclusive for our EPPs up there. And we keep adding to that every single week. New episode of that every week. The classic episodes that are just disappearing from the internet because they're just getting old, those are going up to our EPPs and being restored there, so you can listen to those. Exclusive video, there's probably more than 100 episodes up there now that you're only going to get in the EPP section. It's only $5 a month. That $5 a month keeps our show on the air. It allows us to continue doing this because as this thing grows, the cost of producing, distributing, the bandwidth, all of the basically the infrastructure for doing this show. I'm not going to give you an itemized list, but there's a lot. I don't want to bore you to death with that, but there's a lot of things that go in to the back end of the show to keeping it going and getting out to you. So in order for us to keep doing that, we created that EPP section where for only $5 a month, you get all those extras. So please consider supporting it and keeping us on the air. And by the way, you don't have to use PayPal now if you don't want to. I know a lot of folks had issue with that. I've never had a problem with it. I like PayPal, but you have the option now. PayPal is there for you if you want to keep using that. If you're already subscribed and using PayPal, you're fine. You need to do absolutely nothing. It will continue to work just fine and automatically subscribe you every month. But if you're not an EPP yet and you want to sign up without PayPal, the option now exists for you to do that. Sign up for a month to month or year to year, whatever you like. That donation keeps our show on the air. So thank you in advance for doing that. Abby writes in, years ago when I was in high school, my mom's youngest brother, my uncle, became really sick with cancer. It was really bad all over. We were told that it was inevitable that he would go, but we fought alongside him anyway. At some point, he was doing fairly well for the week and was able to go home instead of staying at the hospital. We lived in the country, and my parents and I lived not even a mile from the hospital, so we put him in my brother's old room, which was still a hospital bed. That night, my mom left his room so he could rest, but told me that she had heard the death rattle. If anyone doesn't know, the death rattle is a type of sound some people make that comes from their throat, as they say it's a sign that they will die soon. Sure enough, he died early that morning. He was always a kind uncle, very outdoorsy, always showing me things, very talkative and friendly. The night that we buried him, we had gotten home and I took a shower. The bathroom was on the other side of the house in the laundry room, and my brother's room was been connected to the laundry room. When I opened the laundry room door to throw away my dirty clothes near the washing machine, I was instantly hit with what I can only describe as a gush of wind. When it hit me, I felt complete and total anger. It scared the crap out of me. I threw my clothes in the room, slammed the door, and ran to my room. The next day, we found out that his middle son, my cousin, was robbing his house for drug money at the very same time as we buried him. It scared me at the time. I feel like he was trying to tell me someone that he was not happy about was doing that. I've also seen him walk through the house before too, but I've never felt him angry again. I make jewelry and like to listen to people talking on YouTube and happen to find your channel, so I'm so glad that I did. I'll be an EPP in a few moments. Thanks for all the stories and keep up the awesome work. The things that addicts will do. Sad. Very sad story. You know, I can only imagine what that father must be feeling in death. I guess it also somewhat answers the question, too, of when you die, do your worries go away? Do your concerns go away? Are you suddenly just instantly happy and all this crap from our current world and all of the poor decisions that people around us make, do they no longer matter? Well, probably not. He's still there, and he's still concerned, and he's angry, and he's upset, and I'm sure sad, and probably wants to do what he can to help his son not make a choice like that. What sort of influence he can have from the other side to help him make better choices. The interesting thing and scary thing about that idea is if he were to start coming to him in an obvious way, it'd have to be very calculated as to then how the son deals with seeing his dead father. Because there's many ways that could go horribly wrong. It could be such an overwhelming and disturbing experience that it causes the son to use even more. It could be an experience where the son starts saying to people he's seeing his dead father, and those who know he's using start thinking, okay, now it's really gone bad. Or it could be a wake-up call. It could be a, oh my God, my dead father actually found a way to come back to me. If he can do that, I have to find a way to stop doing this. It's really a choose-your-own-adventure, but hopefully he's able to get the help that he needs and the father is able to move on and have a peaceful existence on the other side. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Michael writes in, I finally caught up with the broadcast as of 6/18/2015 and was happy to hear you reading two of my ghostly experiences. San Leandro is pronounced San Leandro. I think I said it some other way in a previous episode. Tony stumbled on it a few times and I figured I should help. I did bring flowers back to Mount Calvary Cemetery, and they were happy to receive them. I will admit that I have not been there in some time. This is follow-up on a previous story. Though that is mostly due to me being uncomfortable with the entity that I have nicknamed the Bride. She'd be less scary if she had once been human. I guess you could call her a demon. Though she has thankfully let me alone. And thank you for reading about Mrs. St. Louis. I would like to tell you about the other entity that is in my old home. I should note that I differentiate between ghosts and non-human entities. Though similar, they are very different. It's been 4 or 5 years since I moved onto that house, but I'm still scared of this entity. It's not stuck in that house, and I really don't know how far its reach is. I know that it helped cause 3 deaths, 2 of which were suicides, and at least 2 attempted suicides. I should start with stating that other than the St. Louis family and my own, every other family that has lived in that house have left within 2 years. Secondly, I should note that the activity within the house increased after my father's death. He died by suicide in the master bedroom. Most people would have moved out after that, but we were not in a financial position to be able to do that. So we moved back in after the cleanup. That room was an icebox after his death, with the coldest being where he died. I actually measured a 20-degree Fahrenheit temperature difference just stepping across the threshold into the master bedroom. Sure, it was helpful to jump in there briefly on a hot summer day, but it was creepy. There was also the issue of a portal setting open where he had died. The entity, which was definitely a dark entity, hung out for a few years and pushed an emotional button when he could. When my mother's current boyfriend moved in and started fighting with it to get the master bedroom back is when the obvious activity started up. It started as footsteps, but we were used to these minor odd things thanks to Mrs. St. Louise, and we ignored them. I tried unlocking the front door. In fact, it did twice for me when I was fumbling with my keys. My mother ignored this when it happened for her, and I simply said thank you as if it was normal. May have been getting frustrated, as shortly after this, it started waking my mother in the middle of the night with the sounds of furniture and glass crashing to the floor. Of course, nothing was out of place when she looked. Then there was the night that I came home from working a late shift. As I entered the kitchen, I saw what looked like black wisps or cloth or webbing just brushing the light from the stove light from the shadows of the dining room. As this did not seem normal, I walked over to see what was there. Just around the corner into the dining room, kneeling out of the light was what looked like a young woman composed entirely of black, oily cobwebs. She turned her face up toward me with a slight grin upon her face, and I looked into her solid, black eyes. Completely deadpan, I stated to her, "Yes, you are interesting looking, but you should not be here. Have a good night." And turned to go to bed. The last I saw of it that night was her frowning in confusion. As I suspect you will ask, the secret to how does one just go to bed and sleep after seeing something like that is that you just don't think about it. When it nearly succeeded in pushing my mother's present boyfriend to suicide, we moved out. As far as I can tell, I am the only male that has lived in that house that has been unharmed. The last time I walked past this old house, it did notice me, and took the time to say hi. To be honest, I think that is the scariest thing about it. It liked me, and I feel as if I'm the snack that got away. Michael from the San Francisco Bay Area. The snack that got away. Oh, I like that. If I hadn't already put together a title and a graphic for this episode, I would have named it The Snack That Got Away. I do like that, Michael. That's a disturbing story. And I still am baffled by the whole, well, you don't think about it. Michael, you are a stronger person than I am if you are able to just brush that one off. I know there is no way in hell, if I saw that I'd be like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. All right, toodles. That just, no, I don't think that would work out all that well. I would sit there with anxiety and just not sleep for probably a couple months. And then other things would happen. I'd start hallucinating, and eventually they would take me to the Traverse City Commons and put me in a nice chair in a nice booth at the restaurant that was once part of an asylum. So here you go, Tony. Have a nice piece of fried chicken. Justice writes, and hello, Jenny and Tony. This is Justice. I'm from Western North Carolina. When I was younger, we lived in a house in the country. The house wasn't that old. In fact, it was as old as I was. I should probably add that me and my sister were what you would call a sensitive. We could always pick up on things that no one else could. In fact, when I go into a house and have knowledge that someone has passed in the house, but not knowledge of where and how, I can always pinpoint the place that they had passed and if it was a violent death or not. That's a fun skill. It's one of those things you ask a realtor. Hey, just in case, can you sense if someone died in a house? And then how detailed can you get? Can you tell me violent, not where it happened? Amount of blood that was lost, anything like that? You really think about it, it could be a very unique selling point for some real estate company. Forget the whole, if we can't sell your house in 90 days, we'll buy it. I'm not doing this, I'm applying for a job. No, it should be something to the effect of, if I can't tell you where someone died, I'll buy the house for you. That's right, all of our realtors are gifted psychics, and we'll tell you if the home is haunted or not, and guarantee you will not get a house that is infested with demons. Something like that? Think that would work? I probably know. Continuing on, I don't share my gifts with many people because it was always frowned upon by my family. I guess I should start my story. I'm sorry I tend to ramble on. Well, anyways, my story started about a month or two after we moved into the country house. The first night stuff started happening. It was one of the scariest nights that has ever happened to me. It was around midnight and I started dozing off. Me and my sister shared a room. We had bunk beds and she always slept on the top bunk. Well, my sister woke up claiming she was hearing breathing. It took me about a second to hear it myself. It lasted for about 2 minutes. My sister began to get scared and came down and climbed into my bed. She hated her gift, where, as I embraced it, it stopped for about an hour. I began to doze off again. Even all night, we had the feeling like someone was watching us. Well, as I began to doze off again, my picture frames were thrown off our large oak dresser, making me and my sister jump straight up. Neither one of us said a thing, for we knew at that point we had a paranormal visitor with us. It was as if it didn't want us to fall asleep. We both just snuggled down in bed, pulling the sheets up close to our heads. About 10 minutes later, we had the sheets ripped violently off the bed. I looked around the room and saw something dark in one of the corners. It was like a tall silhouette. I asked it what it wanted, shaking as I did. Me and my sister clearly heard it say, "Get out." We both ran out of the room and down to our spare bedroom. Neither of us told our parents due to their disbelief and disapproval of our gift. We both finally fell asleep in the other room. Ever since that night, we would hear walking in the house late at night and would see shadows, hear voices, and doors would slam. I learned from my close friend that lived close by that the people who lived in the house before us had a son that would do Ouija boards, seances, and demon risings in the basement. What's Junior into? Is he into the football? Is he playing one of those video game kits? No. He's into the Ouija board, seances, and demon risings. He's down there in that little red room underneath the stairs. Lovely home you have here in Amityville. I would love to see what you guys think about it. Was it a ghost or a demon presence? That's something I could never tell what it was. There's so many other stories I'd love to share, and thank you for doing the show. It lets me know I'm not alone in this world. I plan on becoming an EPP as soon as one of my horses has her baby. You both have a lovely day. Well, that's a new one. I have a lot of letters and we get stories and, folks saying I'm going to become an EPP, very soon. And there's, as soon as I get paid or as soon as this or that. It's like, never had one as soon as the horse has the baby. Congratulations to your horse, and we look forward to you becoming an EPP. We thank you very much. Demon, not demon? I'd love to hear more of what happened in that house. It's hard to say based on what you said either way. It seems not too happy of an entity. It could very easily be just a ornery, pissy former human, but there is a possibility that it is more than that, especially with the fact of the former, little Jimmy in the basement doing demon risings. Because that sounds lovely. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to another caller at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jesse. I sent you guys a story back in March or April about me being the timber and how a crazy Native American chanting and a growl on EVP. And I think I sent you one more story in April about me working on the house. We got some weird pictures, and I'm not sure if you guys got the chance to read that one yet. If you haven't, hey, you guys are insanely popular. And you probably have tons of information coming through. So, hey, if you miss it, no big deal. But hey, I want to share a story that happened to me last spring in 2014, excuse me. That's when I first discovered I had abilities, I guess. It's kind of weird for me to say it out loud. Either sensitive or empath, I'm not sure the definition is. But what took place was I had an employee that came up from Anamosa, Iowa. And by the way, you guys should definitely Google that after this story. You probably will. He was working for me, and he wanted to move down here, work for me full time. And so he wanted some assistance going back to his place to get his gear. I said, okay, that's fine. And it was a great day. He was a nice guy. He gave me a tour of some places near Iowa City and places like that. I don't really go in that area very much. So we get up there, and we get to Anamosa, and we have some – I think we had lunch before this happened or after. But he said, hey, you're in a ghost ride. I said, yeah, I like him. I'm interested in him. So I'm going to take you to the Holy Trinity Cemetery. I said, okay. Anamosa is an interesting, very beautiful town. It's kind of harbor. I got a big creek bottom, riverway deal. And also it has an Iowa's oldest prison. I think it's the oldest prison, but also has, that's where all of the elderly and life sentence inmates go to. And I believe it's a subsistence program up there. So they got to raise their own hogs and cattle and grow their own gardens to survive, do all kinds of stuff like that. It's kind of the prison itself has an oppressive feel to it, like very ominous feel to it. And also it overlooks this Holy Trinity Cemetery. So pretty much where the prisoners are at, they know where they're going when they leave, which is kind of sad, but I guess that's what they give them to get there. Anyway, in this cemetery, he took me to, and cemetery, as soon as I saw the gates, I just had this very powerful, powerful hazy feel come over me. Like, I felt like I was drugged. I'd never been drugged before, but I felt like I was high. And I don't do marijuana or drugs or anything, so I don't know what that feels like, but that was just the only thing that describes I was high on this spiritual, force in the cemetery. And we get to the cemetery gates, and I'm kind of feeling like, ooh, what's going on? And usually I feel stuff that's out of the ordinary. I feel a dread in my heart, like a very heavy weight on my chest. So anyway, he goes, okay, man, we're here. I'm going to take you to the hanging tree. And I'm like, oh, what? So we go to the very top of this hill, and it's, on top of the cemetery, there's this little red oak tree that is, like, it's nice, like a little garden that has some cement blocks around it. I'm looking at him like, this thing doesn't look that old. He goes, no, man. We got to go back here in the woods. So we go walking into this woods, and there's this game trail. And I'm a hunter and a trapper, and I know the difference between different game trails and stuff. And I'm an outdoorsman, so I know this stuff. And there's like all these different animal tracks in this one trail going to this tree. And the tree that it goes to is actually a white oak. And if you guys know your trees, white oaks are white. This thing is black. And I know it's not black oak because black oaks have different leaves. This thing had white oak leaves. All right, well, I had leaves. It was in the early spring, so I didn't have his leaves yet. It's all on the ground. But still, I know that there's been a white oak and a black oak just by looking at the bark look to it. So, and he points at this big, thick branch, and there you can see all the scratch marks on the rope over the years. And I thought, ugh. And just looking at this tree, I could just feel energy pulsating from it. And I actually felt the need to touch the tree. And nothing overwhelming came. I just felt this very sick connection to this area, you know. So later on, we were just kind of walking through, and I felt actually guided to certain tombstones. There was one tombstone, part of its ornaments was busted off, and I just felt like this person at this tombstone was angry because it was destroyed in a malicious manner. So I was like, whoa, I don't know why I felt that. Then the grand piece de law, or however you say that, if you Google this cemetery and its history, I believe in the center of the hill, or the very top of the hill before that red oak tree, the very top, in the center of the top, I think you can call it, there was once, there's still a cross there, but once they had a statue of Jesus on this cross. Well, the story says that this statue of Jesus would bleed from its eyes, and it did, like, on a normal occasion. Well, when I was there, the statue of Jesus was gone, and when I got back home and started looking at this place, and I found that story, someone stole that statue, or someone removed it. So that was kind of eerie. But as I was walking to the centerpiece, I guess it's kind of like the main story of the cemetery, I come up to this white statue. And I believe it was a statue of Mary, I think. But looking at the statue from behind, I swear, it looks so real. I felt like someone's going to turn around and start talking to me. It just had this feel, someone's there. And I just had this very overwhelming sadness in my heart. And sat down next to the statue and just kind of not getting, I got some sorrow feelings, you know, and just, I don't see anybody or see anything. I just feel like emotion, just sorrow. I don't know why, I just know. And I look down, there's like this grass growing from the name of this tombstone of Mary, I guess. I, you know, mash on the grass so her name's revealed, and just look at that cross and just look like it's disturbed, you know. So that was it. That's really my story. And real quick, as we're coming back from Anamosa, he said, "Hey, you want to check out the insane asylum by Tipton, Iowa?" And this insane asylum shut down. It's a classical haunted insane asylum. It looks creepy as hell. And it kind of looks like a smaller version of the White House. And I don't know. I tried Googling that site before. I don't remember seeing a lot of pictures. And next time I'm in the area, I got to take some pictures for you guys. Because just driving by that old insane asylum, looking at it, oh, it just had that ominous feel to it. Like, it was bad. I just said, "We ain't going anywhere closer. We're leaving." I just set off. So ever since that visit, I kind of honed feelings. I know what's danger, what's safe. It's actually quite amazing. It's kind of I believe it's a gift from God, because I'm a Christian. I have different, you know, thoughts and opinions on how this stuff works. But, you know, it's a gift, kind of as a danger. It's my red light to know what area is safe and what's not safe, and who can be lost and who's not lost, you know? So, and I just also, you know, I just hope I can use it to help people out, you know? So anyway, that's my story. It was pretty short and quick, and thanks for your time, guys. You guys do an awesome job. I love listening to your podcast. I'm kind of demented. I'm the tractor. I love listening to your stories, and it's kind of odd. People are like, "What do you listen to?" "Oh, ghost stories." "Oh, okay." So anyway, guys, thanks very much, and I hope you guys have a great 4th of July, okay? Thanks again.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. I think it's completely normal to listen to ghost stories, although I do tell them 365 days of the year. So you would hope that I found it somewhat normal. It is a topic that really transcends almost anyone. You're sitting somewhere having a conversation, and you want to talk about something that's not necessarily going to spark an argument or heated debate, but more so really interesting discussions. Ghosts are always the one to go to. Not politics, not religion, not my kid did this, your kid did that. Ghosts. I would say at least 8 out of 10 people have a ghost story. And whether they believe or not, would likely engage on the topic. It's a fun thing to talk about. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Very, very interesting. And just a note on insane asylums, or abandoned insane asylums, is... and of course, I'm speaking in the past tense of how they used to be described. Of course, it's not what you call a facility of the sort today. But unfortunately, that was the terminology used when many of these buildings that are now abandoned were active and being used. Have you ever seen one where you felt, "Oh, that looks like a cozy place to stay? That looks like we should just go there for a picnic"? There's something about them, something about the way they were built. It makes you wonder, when they were designed, did somebody go, "Okay, let's figure out how we can make this building look as ultimately uncomfortable and unsettling as we possibly can, and then put people in there who need serious help"? I mean, seriously, what was the thought process? Or is it just the distance in time from when the buildings of that era were being built to what they are today Was that at one point supposedly a comforting thought? Oh, look at this nice big brick building with the Gothic architecture and the gargoyles. Yes, let's put our loved one in there. We don't know what's wrong with them. We don't know what they're going to do with them in there. But, hey, at least they'll be off our hands. Unfortunately, that was the thinking at that time. It's sad. It's disturbing. I'm sure many of us, I know within my family, there is that from years gone by. I mean, many, many, many years ago, where that was simply just what they did. You know, it's hard to believe or hard to think about, but that's unfortunately what a lot of people had to do or did. No wonder these places are so, so haunted. Anonymous writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Thank you both for creating a fun, great show. I've been hooked since I first started listening a few months ago and like listening to them in the background while I do things around the house. Aside from random coincidences and the memory from before I was born, I have never experienced anything truly paranormal like seeing ghosts or premonitions. I can write in about the memory another time if you guys would like, but I wanted to write in today for a different reason. I did a small research project for my MSW program where we have to learn about a culture different from our own that we're most uncomfortable with or knew least about. The assignment requires us to research a cultural history, watch an educational video, read a memoir, biography, participate in a cultural event, and finally conduct an interview with a member from the group. I chose to investigate the occult, and more specifically Wicca and other pagan religions. I've been listening to the show, and I've heard you guys talk negatively about witchcraft, pentacles, demons, and other occult topics that naturally arise when discussing ghosts. I am no expert on the subject, but from what I've learned about the occult, meaning that which is hidden or unexplained, the negative connotations developed when Christianity and the patriarchy began to take over other religions or polytheistic cultures, which mainly worshipped the goddess and the balance between male and female energies. I just want to stop there for a second because we do not always talk negatively about Wicca or things of that nature. As with anything, there are good and there are bad ends to anything. Whether you're talking about extremes in Christianity, where people are justifying going and murdering people, or other things, the same with other things too, like Wicca or things of that nature. When it's being used in a dark, negative sense, then that's not a good thing. But inherently, some of these things, more holistic, things of that nature, a lot of it not so negative. So I just want to be clear on that. We're not negative on the idea of Wiccan or anything like that. I've worked with people who are that, who practice those things, and they are lovely people who really are, have nothing negative, going on in their life, and they're not trying to push negativity on others. So I'm sorry if that was the perception after hearing some things, but it's a case-by-case basis on what someone is individually doing. We've had plenty of stories of people practicing negative versions of these things. So with anything out there, good and bad can easily arise when used in a not so good way. Continuing on, demons and the devil actually did not exist until the church started to take control of the honored hooved figure is based on the pagan image of the male consort or god worshipped in rituals alongside the goddesses. Demons were originally pronounced daemons and were thought forms or servitors created by magicians to carry out a particular job as the summoner desired. As a result, the intent of the desire or thought is what made the daemons evil or not. Interesting, church officials, priests, and popes were known to summon these daemons themselves to further their cause against other religions. And some of the most evil black book of spells were made of these men. Once the job of the servitor is completed, the summoner must destroy it. Unfortunately, sometimes the servitors once created gain too much power or energy, and the magician can no longer control it. It's believed that these escaped servitors are the things people see in their basements or closets, trying to feed off the energy of the living. Pentacles were used in ancient times and still today to ward off evil. Modern witchcraft used the symbol to protect as well as to draw and raise energy for a particular spell or ritual. Witchcraft is a technique that harnesses the natural forces of energy of the universe for a particular purpose using various methods. Universal energy is pure potential and neutral, neither good nor evil. It is the intent of the witch, which can bring harm to others or themselves if not used responsibly. In my paper, I related how the image of an evil witch flying on a broomstick is really the way modern civilization has perpetrated the fear and loathing of strong, powerful women. The occult is a vast subject with many different avenues and bleeds into New Age thinking and culture. It was a fascinating project and had a lot of fun writing the paper. I could send a copy to you if you'd like. Just let me know if you're interested. In the meantime, keep up the good work and hope this was somewhat informational. Love you guys. It was. It was very informational. Thank you for sharing that. It was much more eloquently put than I guess I could describe my view of the topic. But you put it very well. It's not all bad. It's not all good. It's, as most things, neutral. And it's in the hands of the user as to where it ends up going. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Unfortunately, when it starts being used for bad is when it tends to end up on our show. Let's do one more call before we wrap up today's episode. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I am Ashlyn. I live in... And I'd like to share a story about my experience in the woods. This was about 2 years ago. My cousin and I, she's about 2 years younger than me, and just known for making things up. And we were venturing out in the woods. My grandparents have a lot of land. And back about a mile back is a pond where we decided to go on a walk to. When we got back there, we just kept hearing dog barks, and this is private land, so there shouldn't have been, you know, anybody else back there. So we kind of thought, you know, it's not hunting season, why, you know, but then she kept saying that she saw two men across the pond, and, you know, her being her, I didn't really think anything of it. I kept looking back, not seeing a thing, thinking she was trying to scare me. But then I kind of thought, you know, somebody could be out here hunting and then mistake us for something, so we should probably head back. So we start walking back, and we get kind of thirsty, so stop in this little opening. And I take off my backpack, and I put it down in front of me, and she's standing in front of me. Once I stand back up to hand her a bottle of water, she is... standing there, staring behind me, just looks paralyzed, basically. And, you know, I was freaked out. She's looking at something behind me like that. So I quickly turn around. I didn't see a thing. I look back at her, and she's like, there they are. I was like, there, who is? She said, the two men from across the pond. And, again, I look and don't see anything. She said, you know, they're behind the bush. There was a bush about maybe 10 yards behind me, and, you know, I stand up and walk a little bit and so I can look through her angle, and there are two black figures standing there, and they didn't, I just assumed they were people, like hunters or something, but then I was just wondering why they were following us and just standing there and hadn't said anything. So I look back, and I'm just thinking, this is my imagination also. I mean, it could have been anything. So I kind of just gathered myself and looked back, and they had, like, crouched down. So then automatically I knew this was real. This was, wasn't imagining it. They moved. It wasn't just something there. But it didn't look like people exactly. It kind of just looked like black capes over something. I don't know. But I kind of just stood there, and it was just weird and eerie feeling. I looked back at her and I just said, run. So we grabbed our stuff and started running. And I called my other cousin, just so someone could know what's going on in case something happened to us. And I was telling her, but she just kind of laughed and didn't believe us. And my other cousin was with me. We were running, and I kept looking back, and I would see the people, or these figures, and they would be fairly close behind us, but they weren't moving. They were just standing there, and I was like, how are they getting this close to us and not running? So that's when I just officially decided that it's not a person, because how would they know that I was going to turn around at that exact moment to stop running? But they kept following us all the way out of the woods, and when we finally reached the end of the woods, we looked back, and again, they were just standing there watching us. But I don't know what would have happened if we would have stayed in the woods any longer. Didn't want to find out, but that's definitely the scariest I've ever been. So there's my story. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. Yeah. That was obviously something that was not living. Good, bad, I don't know. I mean, you could also make the argument maybe it was something that was trying to watch out for you and protect you and inadvertently scared the bejesus out of you. But it's really hard to know for sure. I would certainly be just as scared as you were. Thank you for calling in and sharing that. I was saying earlier, if you like the show, please consider supporting it, becoming an EPP extra podcast person. You get all the bonus episodes. It's only $5 a month. 40-some bonus episodes up there of EPP episodes, new ones every single week getting posted. And then you have access to the classic Real Ghost Stories Online episodes as well that have bounced off of iTunes because there's so many damn episodes out there. Some of our best shows, some really, really good stuff from way back at the beginning of doing the show. Amityville being covered, The Conjuring, and so much more. There's about 50 of those up there. So when you sign up to be an EPP, you get the classic episodes, you get the EPP episodes, get exclusive video content, all this good extra stuff. I'm trying to make it as worthwhile as possible for your $5. And then you keep our show on the air more than anything. That's the most important thing. Here's all this free stuff, and it keeps our show on the air. So please, please consider keeping our show going and throwing a little money in the pot to keep it alive. $5 a month is all we ask. And check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.